This is based on some of Jesus' last words. You know, and we understand that last words are important. Now, back in the day before, you know, before hospice, for instance, nowadays what happens is many times they, because they want to make a person comfortable, they pretty much sedate them to where there's not a whole lot of talking that takes place at the end. But used to, there were people's last words were significant when people wanted to know what's the last thing they said. And so sometimes we have to kind of look back at and realize the last things that Jesus said were going to be some of the most important things that he said, because these are the things he said, I got to get this in before I go to heaven. This was the final command that he gave to his disciples, and that was for those disciples to make disciples. Now, we're going to go back to our core scripture here. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Now, understand that when Jesus made disciples, he pulled a group together. There's something about people coming together as a group. So God never intended for any of us to do it all. That's why I always say, when it comes to maybe the pastor or the senior pastor of this church, but it's not my job to do all the work of the church. My job is to teach the saints, the people of God, to do the work of the ministry. And the word ministry simply means servant. And so my job is to serve, but my capacity I serve in is as pastor. Whatever yours is, no matter what that is, it is all about serving. And we serve God through serving people. And so Jesus basically came and he said, "What I want you to do is I want you to learn from me and then go teach others what you've learned from me. But the way we're going to do that is we're going to do it together." Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevail against what? The church. Okay? The church is certainly not me by myself or you by yourself. It's his people. Now, the church, as we see in the scripture, there are local churches. In fact, in the book of Revelation, you can see where Jesus is dealing with various local churches in different areas. And so local churches, I believe, are the idea of God. Now, I don't believe it's God's idea for all churches to be split and divided and arguing over this and arguing over that. But I also believe that he does expect his church to stick with his word and to not allow truth to be contaminated or changed. This is his word, and we stick with his word. People ask me all the time, "What kind of church is it that you pastor? What is it?" And I tell them, I don't like names or titles of churches. I tell them, it's a Bible-believing church. We believe what the Bible teaches, and we believe all of it. And we believe that it's all for us today. And we are spirit-filled. We believe that. We believe the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, and gives us gifts and anoints us. That's the kind of church it is. I don't like to put a name on it. But God never intended for his church to be so divided as it is. But the problem is people take God's word and then they just run off with these little, on rabbit trails with his word. And they go, "Well, I choose to believe this and I choose to believe that." And what happens is you get to a place where nobody's hearing from the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal his word. That's why the Bible says the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He reveals what is truth to us through the word. And so what happens is, for instance, there are churches who embrace all kinds of sexual immorality, including homosexuality. There are churches who embrace abortion as though somehow that's something that God promotes and is okay with. Well, I could never, ever come into agreement with that because it goes against the word. But in their mind, it's been twisted to somehow they believe that this is what the Bible says. So whole denominations are splitting up over this, and it's just more and more and more schisms. But if we just stuck with the word, we wouldn't have all that. So Jesus is saying, I want you to take the word that I have taught you, and I want you to take the word. And by the way, as Pastor Cindy said, the Old Testament is considered God's word. There are many people who don't even bother to read it because they go, I don't understand everything in there. And, you know, we're in a new covenant. We're not in that old covenant anymore. But yet in the new covenant, in the New Testament, it tells us that all scripture is God breathed. And it's all from him. He breathed it out, right? And we can't, as Pastor Cindy said, we can't understand the New Testament if we have no grasp of the Old Testament. If we don't have a grasp of the Old Testament, we don't even know how terrible sinners we are. We don't. We think even though with our mistakes and all, we're still pretty good people, but the Old Testament lets us know we're not. The Old Testament lets us know what God's character is and what holiness is and his heart for people. Jesus wants us to introduce people to God, and he wants us to help them not only become a disciple, but to become a disciple maker. And so our job is to help you become a disciple maker. So we said, how does a football team know when it's winning? Well, you know, they score or they end up with a different score, you know, a better score than the other team. But when it comes to churches, we're not in competition. We're not playing against church. We're not in competition with anybody else. And if we are in competition with anybody, it's with ourselves to be more like Christ. But the way we know we're winning is when disciples are being made. When people go from just being church people, from just being pew sitters, from just being spectators, to be those who participate in kingdom. Amen? Who participate in growing his kingdom and participate in making disciples. So what is the task that Jesus gave us? Well, it's to make disciples. And he gave us, we said, his power, and he gave us his authority. So he didn't only authorize us, but he empowered us. He also promises us his presence to be with us all the time. It's one of the reasons I absolutely treasure his presence. I don't want to do anything without his presence. I don't want to go where he's not. I don't want to be where he's not. I want his presence to be everywhere that I am. In his presence is everything I need. And so how do we obey his commands? Well, we do it by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. I am convinced that most people, even people who call themselves Christians, even church people, listen, there are churches all across this country that are, some of them, packed with people, thousands of people. But going to church is not what God is after. That's part of it. He wants us in church. He wants us to be part of the church. But he wants the church doing something. What does he want us doing? Making disciples. It was the last thing Jesus said to do. And so we have to care about people as much as he cares about people. Now, we ended up last week talking about using the quote from Penn Jillette, who was an atheist, and the fact that he himself said about Christians, if you really believe that there's a heaven and you really believe that there's a hell, if you really believe that, how much do you have to hate people to not tell them how to go to heaven and how to not go to hell? How much do you have to hate them? And I'll tell you that when the first time I ever read that, I was so convicted by that story. And it is a true story. But from an atheist to say, how much do you have to hate a person to just not care whether or not they go to hell? And you really believe in it. I've often asked God to give people a revelation of the reality of both heaven and hell. And there, I know there are people who have experienced that. But listen, God wants us to be involved, all of us. And we have to stop. You know, we came out of a particular denomination that taught that the guy that stands in the front is the holy one. That the guy that stands in the front and does all the ritualistic stuff, he's the really spiritual one. And God requires that person to be spiritual. Now, you just go on and live your life, and as long as you show up and you confess your sins from time to time and you partake of the communion or the Eucharist, then, you know, it'll be okay. But there's no holiness expected of the people, at least not the system I came out of. But when it comes to God, when it comes to his church, we're all called to be holy. That's why Jesus himself said, be holy as I'm holy. right? He even said, be perfect as I'm perfect, right? Be mature. Be all that you can be that God made you to be for his sake, for his glory. So we're going to start here. A real launching point this morning is number three. Point number three, there are no spectators on God's team. Jesus created the church. He loves the church. He's empowered the church. When we become Christ followers, we are organically connected to other Christ followers. And that's one of the reasons I've over the years I've said this. The church is not an organization in the sense of kind of like a business organization. The church is, however, organic. It is like a family. It's not a business, right? Now, some people approach that. I've seen a whole bunch of them over the years fall. I've seen whole ministries collapse because everything was just about the business, and it was about counting heads, and it was about how much money came in and all of that kind of stuff. But the church is described as a family, as a marriage, as a body. What is common to all churches and all of those things, as we said, a marriage, a family, and a body, is that we all have problems to work out, right? And we're not meant to be separated. Understand that in every church, you're going to have friction from time to time. Just like in every family, you're going to have friction from time to time. Is anybody here, did y'all grow up in a family or have a family of your own and there was never any friction? Let me see your hand if there was never any friction in your family. That family doesn't exist, okay? I want to tell you, I heard a preacher say this one time talking about husbands and wives. He said somebody had told him that in all of his years of marriage, they had been married like 30 years. And he said, in all of our years of marriage, my wife and I have never had a disagreement. And the man said, the only way that's possible is that one of you at least has to be dead for the last 30 years. Because I want to tell you, you get two humans together, there's going to be friction. I say it's kind of like God's little joke. He gives us all these different personalities. Even in this room today, you got everybody in here with all these different personalities. And it's amazing. It's a miracle, I've often said, that God can take all those people, all those personalities, and put them together and call them the church and say, no, get along. I mean, look, just a family. You know, just a family, it's not easy for everybody to get along. So, but here's the thing. God designed us that way so that we can learn from each other, so that iron can sharpen iron, so all our rough edges can get kind of, you know, taken off of us. And he allows those kind of things because he's trying to shape us and form us and craft us and mold us into really a representation of Jesus himself, right? So, the church is described in all those ways, but you're going to have issues with your family. You're going to have issues in a marriage. You're going to have issues with your body. I have issues with my body all the time. Every time I look in that mirror and I see all this stuff thinning up here, I have issues with that. So what do? I get me some brown hairspray, right? But even with the brown hairspray, I have to look in that mirror from time to time, and I don't like everything my body is doing. Anybody understand? Whether it's my body wanting to try to get sick on me or feel injury or whatever, I'm not always in unity with my body, all right? So what is common to all of those things is that they're all relational, they're interconnected, even the body. Thank God for all our various body parts, and God designed us. He was such an incredible designer for our bodies to be able to do the things that we do. And I want to tell you, every part of the body is important. Several years ago, I had a good friend, and he got in an accident, and he cut his leg off just under the knee. And I remember him telling me that he said, man, it's so real. He said, sometimes I find myself scratching my foot that's not even there because it's like it's still there. He said, I feel like it's there, and it itches, and I feel pain. They call them phantom pains. And he said, it feels like my leg's still there, but it's not there. And I've said, you know, over the years, I can kind of relate to that as the body of Christ when different parts maybe get severed. for whatever reason, whether a person passes away or whether a person just gets mad and leaves or whatever, but you still feel there's phantom pains there. Why? Because it's part of the body. And even though they're not there, you still feel there's an emotional connection there at the very least. So what is also unique about those things is that every member is necessary to make this metaphor we're talking about work. And I love the way the body works together. I've used this example before, but man, every time you know, you bump your head or you stomp your toe, or yesterday I was working in my yard building a little bridge that got destroyed in the hurricane, and we're finally getting that thing done, and I was taking the old parts of the bridge and went to go pick it up to move it, and it got snagged on something, and it's pretty heavy. This thing probably weighs 150 pounds, that little piece. And boy, it came down and hit me in the shin. Well, how many of you know I didn't even have to think before I started hopping and rubbing that shin, and my mouth is saying, oh, that hurts, oh, right? I mean, I'm not even having to think about those things. They happen automatically. And that's why he calls us the body. I mean, the body ministers to itself. And so it's one of the reasons why we have you laying hands on each other and doing things, the body ministering to itself. And everybody has a part. So discipleship cannot happen without a local church. So as we gather together, whether that be on Sundays or Wednesdays or the various Bible study groups, people serve and use gifts that God gave them to help disciple others. What I want is for this church to get into this mold of not just being church people, not just coming to church because, well, this is what God requires of me to do, but to come with the mentality that what we do, the reason we exist and the reason the church itself exists, is to make disciples. And I have to allow myself to be a disciple before I can truly make disciples on an individual level. But just showing up and being a part and supporting what we do here is helping to make disciples, right? So one of the reasons I mentioned that to you guys a while ago about let's move a little closer, because we don't want somebody to walk in this room and just feel cold and feel like, ugh. You know, these people don't love each other. We don't want that. We never want them to have that kind of thought when they walk in this place. So what gifts and abilities do you have to help others be like Jesus? Have you ever asked him, Lord, what is it that I can do? What is it that makes a difference? What is it? And so Pastor Cindy told me yesterday, got out there and they painted the baptistry. So, you know, all that stuff that just needed to be done, they jumped out there and did it. And they're making it look good. They just, you know, those things make a huge impact on people. Nobody wants to walk into a church or any place, any business, and walk into the bathroom and the bathroom's all nasty and there's pee everywhere and the toilets are nasty and there's, you know, I mean, nobody wants, but somebody has to take care of that. It's all part of helping to make disciples. But so we want to have the mind frame of we're not just coming together to get some Holy Ghost goosebumps and to say we had church. We want to make disciples. Because Jesus' disciples took that serious ultimately, and it took him 3.5 years to teach them what they needed to teach, and they really didn't get it till after the resurrection. It didn't really happen for them until after the resurrection, and then they were changed men, and they turned the world upside down for Jesus. And they literally spread the gospel all around the known world at the time and literally gave their lives for that cause. So what is it that he can do through you? I can tell you one gift that we all have is we all have a mouth and we can speak. We can all share the love of Christ with someone. We can all tell our story. We can all talk about how we moved from death to life, how we moved from our destination of hell, got moved to heaven. We all can tell that story. We all can tell that of the day that I met Christ, that he became a reality to me. We can all do that, right? So No one on their own can make the whole body function. It is not my job as a pastor to make the body function. My job is to do my part to help teach you how to do that, right? And so God puts you on the team as a player, not as a spectator in the stands. Now, years ago, I was at a conference, and I heard a preacher use this example, and I've used it since, but he used this example of the church, and he said, you know, the church is a lot like a sporting event. He said, you go to a sporting event, for instance, a college football game, or even a professional football game, but you go to a football game, and I've noticed this even at the high school football games, that you got some people that as far as they're going to get is like the parking lot area. They're always going to just be, they're hanging around, they're looking, but they're not involved. They have no idea what's going on in the game, but they're looking, you know, and some of them, they're just hanging out there to tailgate. I mean, they never even go in the game. They're out there barbecuing and drinking beer and whatever else they're doing. They out there just hanging out. But then there are others who actually go into the stadium. They go into the seats. And you have some that they're sitting way up in the nosebleed seats. And then you have others that they want to be close. So they get closer and closer. So you have people at all these different levels, from somewhat close to way, way back. And you have some that never even come to the stadium. But then you have people on the field. You have people, you have the coaches, you have the players, but you also have other people. You have the water boy, the towel guy. You have, you know, the little guy that handles the footballs for them and so on and so forth. There's all these different things. They have the bands. They have the cheerleaders. They have all these different parts that are these are active people on the field. And so in the church, it's kind of the same way. And some people are content to look at the church but never go in. Some people are content to go to church but they never get out of the stadium seats. Why? Because they're spectators. They're only there to watch the game. They're only there to be entertained. They're only there to just, you know, say, hey, you know, I paid good money for this. You know, so you better entertain me. You better give me a good show, right? There are people who are in churches all over the place. That's their place. But God wants to move us all from being spectators and watching to being participators, to be part of what he's doing. And one of the best ways to do that is reaching people and then bringing them in and teaching them and helping to teach. You know, we have, I won't say their names because I didn't ask their permission, but we have a young lady that's here now. And I love the fact that one of our ladies, one of our older ladies from the first day has really connected to her. And I tell you that that's a divine connection, and she's helping to disciple her. She says, I don't know everything to teach her, but she's there. She's present. She's with her. She's encouraging her. And she's got this young lady involved in everything we got going on over here. All right? So it takes somebody to do that. So we got to move out of the seats. It's not a show. It's not a, and we come from, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times in Spirit-filled churches, it's kind of the same way where you got the star up there. You got the anointed one up there, and he's going to preach to us, and maybe he'll lay hands on us, and maybe we can get something. But I want to tell you, you got the same Holy Spirit living in you who lives and me or Pastor Cindy or any other preacher that you might know, the same Holy Spirit who enables you to become not only a disciple, but a disciple maker. So the question you have to ask are, what are you doing to move out of the spectator seats and onto the field? You know, look, you got people that have to, if it's a grass field, you got people that have to cut the grass. You know, they have to stripe the thing. They have to get it ready. They have to have the electronics and the board and all that. All of that stuff has to come together for the game to work. And the idea is to get people out there into the stadium, into the church, so that they can begin to witness what God is doing. But the intention is never to leave them in the seats. The intention is to get them involved in their calling, to get them involved in doing something that makes an eternal difference, a kingdom difference. So that's the point. The point is that we have to, as a church, we have to all embrace this mindset of not only being disciples, but being disciple makers. How can we do that? What can we do? And so we'll look at a little more reproducible process and how we can do that. But when I look at Jesus and I look at his disciples, never one time did Jesus make a big issue about numbers. What he made an issue about was the people who were in his care, teaching them, trying to empower them to be disciple makers who turn the world upside down. Now, I have a word from God from the very beginning when we began this church, and that word, there's several, but one of those words is, I want to change the world from my way. And I had people always asking me, why are you in my way? I had all kinds of offers to take churches with a nice salary and everything else, and here I was in my way, no salary whatsoever, working shutdowns and turnarounds so I could pastor this church, living in an old house that was, you know, I thank God for it. He provided for us. But living in that old house with no insulation, it was cold in the winter, it was hot in the summer, and it had plumbing issues and electrical issues and every other kind of issue you can imagine. But we were willing to do that so that we could do what we do. And God said, I want to change the world from my way. So we were willing to say, God, we're going to trust you. You're going to do the impossible. You're going to touch the world. You're going to change the world from my way. One way we do that is supporting missions like we do. But listen, we can't just put it off on the missionaries to go. He's called all of us to go. We may not go to another country, we may or may not, but you can go to your neighbor, you can go to the person down the aisle in the grocery store, you can go to the guy that you work with, you can go when God says go, you can go to somebody and you can share Christ with them, you can share his love, you can share your story, amen, with the intention of let's get them into the body of Christ so that we can help them become disciples. Now, thing I'll say this, I'm so thankful for what he's doing with these guys, you know, in their ministry and plugging them in the way they plug in. But here's another thing. I was thinking about this morning. Do we have that kind? Do we have that kind of commitment to making disciples? And so all of us have the ability to make a difference if we'll just choose to. I'm so thankful for this body, for this church. You know, understand, you know, we started from just a handful of people. Everybody was broke and everybody was broken. And so the Lord, through that, built a church. Jesus said, I will build my church. So once I took the weight of the responsibility of building the church off of me and put it on him and just said, Lord, you just tell us what to do and we'll just do that. I don't want to have to go take advice and go to some conference to learn how to build the church. I want to hear what you're doing, hear what you're saying, see what you're doing, and I want to be involved in that. And then we'll reach who we can reach. But our goal is to make disciples, not to just bring bodies in. Amen? So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every person here. Lord, I know that we're at various levels, different stages in our walk with you. But, Father, may we never just fall into thinking, Lord, that we just have to be spectators. Lord, I thank you that there's more. And whatever that more is for each one, I pray that you would just begin to show them. Lord, help us to humbly embrace whatever it is you have for us. Lord, we know it's not about ego. It's not about titles. It's not about trying to be special in the eyes of people. Lord, it's about being servants, your servants. So help us, Lord, to learn from you. Jesus, you told us to look at you and to learn from you. And you told us that your load is light, your burden is light, your yoke is easy. Lord, show us how to truly yoke up with you so that we can be disciples who make disciples. Lord, may we never be content to just be church people who show up and think we did something. I pray, show each one, Father, each one. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.